사랑하는 성도 여러분,
Dear brothers and sisters, while living in this world, we may have moments we feel regret over our words. So do I. Especially those who are talkative naturally make more mistakes with their words. Aware of this truth, the psalmist confessed in Psalm chapter 141, verse 3, Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, keep a watch over the door of my lips. By the way, there is an important reason that we have to set a guard over our mouth and be found whole with our words. It's because in the spiritual realm, our words may determine our blessing, curse, or even our life. Thus, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 warns us, The one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. There's another significant reason that our words are important. The words spoken out of our lips reflect our heart like a mirror. Just as Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 reminds us, The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Therefore, speaking the words of truth isn't just about being cautious with our words. First, we have to root out evil from our heart and wholly make bread of the words of truth. Only then can we always speak words proper according to the truth. A guard refers to an individual who stands guard at a specific area to protect its residents. So, to set a guard over our mouth is to keep watch over the door of our lips and to always speak the words of truth, following the will of God, who is our true master. The enemy devil causes us to utter untruthful and evil words anyhow, but while we have a guard over our mouth, we can speak God-pleasing words all the time. Brothers and sisters, in the last session, I told you that to set a guard over our mouth, first, we shouldn't speak what is worthless in our everyday lives. When we say something, the outcome of our words can we categorize into two kinds. First, good words that are proper according to the truth, benefit others as well as ourselves. Words spoken out of a good heart bring peace, grace, and joy to others. Such words plant faith and life in them as well. When a good-hearted person speaks according to the Spirit's inspiration, he says words most appropriate in a specific situation or time. His words help to accomplish God's kingdom and provide life to each soul. On the contrary, there are words that only harm others without benefiting them at all. There are words that deviate from the truth, unnecessary, worthless, and deceitful words. Words of complaints and words of criticizing and slandering others and dishonoring God. Also, when people carelessly tell jokes or jests, even though they carry no evil intention, they give it no benefit. We find in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 4, And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. As we read in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, For every careless word that we speak, we have to give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Thus, recognizing the power of our tongues and the importance of our words, before we say anything, we should first discern whether our words would be beneficial or harmful to our souls. Furthermore, we should make efforts to only speak words beneficial to God's kingdom, proper according to the truth, and good and truthful. In doing so, we can naturally be cautious with our words. Brothers and sisters, to set a guard over our mouth, second, we shouldn't say things that are beyond our place. If a person has become arrogant or haughty in his heart, he is prone to speak words that are beyond his place. As for people who are humble in heart, they are not likely to say such words. The examples of words beyond one's place are judging and condemning words. They include slandering and criticizing words as well. As creatures, we have no right to judge or condemn another person. that right only belongs to God the Creator. We read in James chapter 4, verse 11, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. The law was established by God. Thus, to speak against or judge a brother is the same as speaking against and judging the law. As the verse says, but if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. Because God Himself established the law, we have to be a doer of it. But some individuals make themselves a judge, not a doer. While God alone is the judge, they behave as a judge. As James chapter 4, verse 12 reminds us, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? The lawgiver and judge is only God. Therefore, when they make themselves God, speaking against or judging a brother, they are committing a great sin. Then, how much greater their sin would be if they judged, condemned, or criticized God's servant, whom God is with? Because they criticize, judge, and condemn the servant who manifests signs, wonders, and God's power, how great of a sin they commit. Moreover, what they do is against God. God bestowed power on him and made him manifest signs and wonders. Because they judge and criticize the servant whom God is with, their judgment and criticism is done against God. From the Bible, as the Israelites criticized Moses, God said that they did so against him, not Moses. And when someone disobeyed Prophet Samuel, God said that his disobedience was against him, not Samuel. Why? It was because these prophets were the ones whom God was with. Such great sins resulted in many problems. Moreover, if anyone judges or condemns a man of God while knowing that he is a man of God, he faces greater trouble. Even if they receive prayer, their original problems of sins hinder them from receiving God's power. We have to know why this is a great sin. It's because such judgment and condemnation constitutes the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. From the four Gospels, Jesus manifested signs and wonders, drove out demons, and healed the weak. When people judged and condemned him, they called him a king of demons, the Beelzebub. Hearing this, do you remember what Jesus said? He said that they were blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. If a person commits such a sin, he cannot receive salvation even in this world or in the world to come. So we should keep ourselves from ever criticizing or slandering a person who manifests signs and wonders. Have you ever seen a marvelous signs and wonders taking place at this church elsewhere and except in the Bible? These are works of God manifested by those who love God and live according to His will. Such works have been manifested by senior pastor and those who place trust in the senior pastor. Amen. So these are works of God. So if we judge, condemn, or slander anyone whom God is with, it's the same as judging, condemning, or slandering God. God stated that He would surely repay such sins. People who've built a wall of sin because of this should realize why their actions constituted a great sin. As for me, I have seen many people I have witnessed final moments of many people. So I could sympathize with what Pastor Esther Chung said. You know, even a person, even an unbeliever, could find just by opening the cover of a coffin, he knows that whether the corpse, whether the person lying in the coffin went to hell or heaven. And, you know, the elder's friend said that, confessed that he would start attending church 1 year before he dies. But, you know, how could we know when we will die? Especially after we committed a sin of blaspheming against God, once God takes away his soul, he goes straight to hell. How could a person live such a stupid life? So we have to prevent ourselves from judging a brother. Moreover, we have to keep ourselves from ever judging a servant of God who manifests signs and wonders. We should never make that happen. If we've been involved in such sins, we should repent thoroughly. Thus, we should never speak even a word that is beyond our place. As we read in James chapter 4, verse 12, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? If saved children of God speak words of complaint and resentment, they are saying words that are beyond their place. If we hadn't met God, we would be destined to suffer eternally in the fire of hell. But by God's grace, we've been saved and headed for beautiful heaven. We can just stay thankful for this fact alone. But if we blame our environment and resent anyone in the face of trouble, that means we've forgotten God's great redeeming grace. As Colossians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14 remind us, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If we indeed recognize God's tremendous grace of having saved us from the fire of hell, we would recognize our place and only remain thankful no matter our circumstance. We'd make such confessions of thanksgiving as, I thank God for saving me. I'm thankful for the love of God who provides me with awakening in this hardship. You know, we heard testimony of a person who was healed of the frozen shoulders. You know, I've also experienced such pain in one of my shoulders. It's so painful, you have to know that. Even when I slept, when I even tried to turn my body to the other side, it was extremely painful. Of course, while I was driving, I have to look right and left and look back. When I turn my head like this, with frozen shoulder, I couldn't even turn my head without pain. So I have to turn my head really slowly like this. It was like I was being a robot, you know. Human bodies, so I have to move like a robot. There was much discomfort and pain. But the person who was healed of frozen shoulders, I know that he has been diligent since he started attending this church. But from some point, he began to lose thankfulness and he began to have complaints. But he repented of it and attended the summer retreat. And by receiving the prayer, he was healed. And now he can move his body without any pain. Amen. As you can see on the screen, such favors, such grace. How thankful we should be for such grace and favor. It has been over 30 years since I started attending church. I've been changed by meeting senior pastor. You know, before I attended the church, I used to suffer from a lot of mental stress. I think it was kind of a depression. I had that mental problem. But after I met senior pastor, all such symptoms went away. And overnight, I was perfectly healed. So I began to live in joy. So, Before that, I used to have suffer from insomnia. I used to drink as well. But after I met Senior Pastor, I recovered health and began to sleep comfortably. And even after 30 years, I have been living like this for 30 years. So, you know, it's been over 30 years. How happy I am. Such blessing is from God. Father God gave me such a blessing through Senior Pastor. Amen. It's not only me, all of you, each and every one of you has a testimony or healing experience. Knowing such grace, knowing such favor, we should never judge anyone, especially a person whom God is with. I've also visited funerals. As I checked the face of a person lying in a coffin, I could tell whether that person went to hell or heaven. So it was very rare for me to see a person who went to hell. But some individuals who didn't attend church well, or some people who failed to break down the wall of sin, their faces looked terrible. Their tongues stuck out. You know, I'm quite a bold person, but as I saw those faces, these images continually popped up in my head, so I couldn't even sleep well after seeing such faces. So I had such difficult times. But you know, after that time, most of my members, but as we go through this situation, we have to be careful with our words and with our mind. Just as we have an awakening from the Sunday morning service. It should be the same with our duties for the kingdom of God. Those who are humble-hearted and you know, we saw the volunteers making noodles for church members. They look like angels. Especially Elder Jung Hyun Choi. When I saw him checking how cooked the noodle was, he tried tasting it. He was such a distinguished person in the society as a professor, but he volunteers to do that. He comes to church early for volunteer works. So those volunteers are so thankful for God's grace. And another person, I also know of another person who comes to church early for volunteer works to make noodles. And he confesses, he's so happy making noodles for church members. So I was very thankful to hear that. And such people confess that, thank you for giving such a precious duty to a person like me. I'm grateful that I can contribute to God's kingdom. On the contrary, there are people who respond, why should I be assigned such a trivial duty? Why should I do such a thing? But those who are humble-hearted, no matter what kind of duty they are assigned, they are thankful. So we have to accept our duties with thankfulness. Rather than accepting it, the Virgin Mary is a good example of someone who fulfilled God's will without complaining. Do you remember how she reacted when she heard the news from the angel Gabriel that she would conceive and give birth to a son? She didn't give such an excuse like, I'm a virgin, I cannot give birth to a son. You know, it's totally incomprehensible that a woman conceives a baby as a virgin. This must have been something unheard of and incomprehensible by man's reason. You know, according to the law of the Jewish community at the time, she could have been considered having committed adultery and stoned to death. Yet she obeyed it by saying, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." It was something totally impossible to obey. She could have given excuses, knowing that she could be stoned if she got pregnant. But anyway, she just accepted it without giving an excuse. God selected this woman and had her conceived by the Holy Spirit. God does not choose just anyone for His use. And think about Joseph as well. His husband, he found out that his fiancé was pregnant. So he could have thought she committed adultery. Yet, he didn't pass judgment. And he wanted to send her quietly. Because God knew that he had such an inner heart, God chose him as well. The same goes for the woman from Syrian Phoenicia. To allow her to demonstrate her faith, Jesus said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Jesus likened this woman, who was a Gentile, to a dog. Even so, she didn't get discouraged and upset about being disregarded. Rather, she responded, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Even though Jesus called her a dog, it didn't matter to her. So she said, "Please resolve my daughter's problem." She continually asked Jesus to do so, and without any complaints, she pleaded with Jesus all the more. Before Jesus, who would solve her problem, she completely humbled herself and asked with unfailing faith. Finally, she had her daughter's problem resolved. Hopefully, you will find secrets to resolving your own problems from these biblical examples. If a person speaks words that are beyond his place, that means his heart has become arrogant and haughty. Those who humbly follow God's will have wisdom by which they discern between right and wrong, so they never speak or behave carelessly. But arrogant people follow their emotions in speaking, and they say inappropriate things without consideration of time and place. We can find another example from 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7, when the city of Samaria was besieged by the Aramean soldiers. The city faced severe famine and its inhabitants were in a wretched situation. A woman who was so famished even boiled her own son and ate him. In that situation, the word of the Lord came upon prophet Elijah saying, "Tomorrow, about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Because it was extremely difficult for people to get food, even with money, the words spoken by the prophet could have sounded incredible or ridiculous. At the time, one of the royal officials didn't believe these words and scoffed at them, saying in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 2, "Behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" He uttered such evil words, despising God's words and ignoring the prophet. Because he mentioned God in his words. And his words were beyond his place. Hearing this, the prophet replied, "But behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it." Then, do you know how this prophecy was fulfilled? God caused the army of the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and a sound of horses, even the sound of a great army. The Arameans were consumed by fear and fled away, leaving all their possessions and provisions behind. As a result, the city abounded with food and God's word was fulfilled. But what happened to the official who scoffed at the prophet's prophecy? While he was guarding the gate, he was trampled on by the crowd rushing to the camp of the Arameans. From this incident, we can infer that while we are giving God's great promise and witness its fulfillment together, those of us who speak evil words that are beyond their place cannot share in the blessings. Therefore, those who love and see good days, as in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, should set a guard over their mouth and always speak words appropriate according to the truth. Without speaking anything negative, they should endure and remain patient, looking forward to God's promise in faith. Also, we shouldn't doubt or judge the words of a person guaranteed by God. We have to accept God's word spoken through the prophet with amen and obey. I urge you to always make confessions of faith pleasing to God and enjoy amazing blessings of having all God's promises fulfilled. To set a guard over our mouth, third, we have to speak positive words and make confessions of faith no matter the circumstance. Even in our daily lives, it'd be better for us to refrain from using negative expressions such as, "I don't think it's possible," "That's very unlikely," or "It doesn't seem possible." I challenge you to develop a habit of speaking positive confessions of faith such as, "It will work out. We can do it. Nothing is impossible with those who believe. Amen." This is not my word. This is the word spoken through Jesus in the book of Mark. When we lack faith, it's because our faith lacks. But God is, nothing is impossible with God. The problem is we lack faith. While the reality is completely bleak and hopeless, how could we make such confessions? These confessions originate from faith. Even though I'm not capable enough, despite the difficult reality, I can do anything if only God is with me. Your confession should be like this. We've heard that senior pastor never says something negative no matter the situation. According to his confessions of faith, so we also have to make such confessions in our daily lives. A senior pastor remained positive in all circumstances. He believes that the Lord God is with him and listens to his prayer. That's why he can make positive confessions from the bottom of his heart, and things unfold according to his confessions. Namely, impossible things become possible, and possible things more possible. If we speak negative words, it brings about a negative effect on those who hear him. It spoils and darkens the atmosphere. It takes away others' passion and makes them depressed. On the contrary, positive words refresh and brighten the atmosphere. They give others confidence and strengthen them to get back on their feet. For example, your child got a 40-point score in his math test, and at the next exam, he gets a 50-point. And what would you say? Would you say such negative words as, "You only got 50 point?" Some of you may say that way, but others? Of course, parents want his children to get 100 point in an exam. But they could make a positive confession like, "Oh, your points rose by 10 points. And you can, if you study hard, you can really be good at math. How good would it be if parents make such positive confessions, and then, as a result, their children will make more efforts? But let's say parents say like, you know, your friend got a higher score than you, but you only got 50 points. As for me, I wouldn't speak in that way. I think mommy members, most of mommy members are wise and wouldn't say such a way. So if we say any negative words, it gives a negative influence to others. On the contrary, positive words refresh and brighten the atmosphere. They give others confidence and strengthen them to get back on their feet. As we find in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. By making mistake with our words, we may fall into hell. Our words may determine whether we will enter hell or heaven. Thus, the more negative words we speak, the more troubles and difficulties we'll have. There are people who keep saying negative words, and as a result, negative and difficult things keep happening to them. When I first came to Mami Church, people never say such things like, it kills me, I'm dying. But at first, I wasn't used to such positive words. You know, Korean people, by nature, they are likely to make negative expressions. They say like, I'm dying, I'm hungry to death. You know, mommy members don't say such expressions. But worldly people, you know, they use such expressions as, I'm hungry to death, I'm stuffed to death. But instead, we say like, we are hungry to life. We are filled with the Spirit to life. We use the word life instead of death. Also, we use such expressions as, we have our own expressions which are made to avoid making any negative expressions. So, for example, when you see a glass about 50% filled with water, it'd be good to use a positive expression. You know, I'm holding a cup. You know, this cup is about 50% filled. But some people may use negative expressions like, the cup is only 50% filled. But if you say like, the glass is still half filled with water, you know, positive expressions are better. Even when you find yourself lacking what you desperately need, you'd better make positive confessions rather than feeling sad about it. If you make positive expressions, rather than feeling sad or depressed, you can just pray. And if we dwell on negative thoughts, we feel discouraged, and as a result, many problems may arise. We have to know that positive expressions are better and bring about better results. In turn, you will feel much better. God will be pleased as well. Therefore, to make positive confessions is good, both physically and spiritually. Even in a completely hopeless situation, you'd better say, the future is hopeful. Then things will go as you've said. David, the man of God, neither looked at the reality nor spoke negative words as he fought with the Goliath. You can check this in the Bible. Can you find any negative words spoken out of David? He only made a confession of faith, looking to the Almighty God. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 through 47, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands.'" He said, "He will give you into our hands." David was neither mighty nor robust. He was nothing more than a teenager. Even while the king and his generals trembled in fear, as a teenager, David made a confession of faith and boldly went before Goliath. Even in a situation where David could be beheaded at once, David confronted him with the confession of faith. This could have been looked so stupid in the eyes of the people without faith. But how could God have left David alone? Because David had complete trust in God and made a confession of faith, God helped him. David had been good at throwing stones. While tending his father's flock, he always used stones to chase away the bears and lions and became quite good at throwing stones. Yet, it would have been never easy to knock down Goliath at a single blow. Think about this. Goliath was tall and strong, armed with a helmet and armor. That's why all people were scared of even confronting him. How could it have been easy for David to hit him right in the vital point with a stone? Throwing stone at a person armed with the armor and helmet would be of no use. But on Goliath's face, there is one vital point exposed. Because the helmet couldn't cover his eyes, this vital point right here was exposed. With God helping David, the stone hit Goliath right on this vital point. Of course, David was good at throwing stones, but with God intervening in the battle, his stone could hit him right in the vital point. Hallelujah. No matter the situation we face, if we rely on God, God will help us and He will resolve all the problems. On the contrary, there were people who faced a miserable outcome by making a negative confession. Even people who think they have good faith may end up speaking negative words or complaining in the face of a hardship. But true faith is characterized by truthfulness and remains unchanged no matter the occasion. With true faith, a person wouldn't consider his situation, but keep his faith in the Almighty God. As we've heard from Pastor Esther Chung's sermon in the Sunday morning service, you know, a person with a heart problem, as they experienced death and revived, but one or two days later, they completely forgot what happened. I think it's natural for people tend to forget things easily. They tend to forget grace or blessing easily. You know, mommy members who are here, have been guided by God, you've experienced So people should remember the sacrifice and love. But people are quick to forget such grace and blessings. But you should never forget the grace of salvation and the power of God manifested by senior pastor. You know, Father God Himself manifests power, but it is done through senior pastor. We have to keep this grace from the day until the day our Lord comes back, and we should live with a desire, with a resolution to pay back that grace. This was obvious when the 12 spies made reports after spying out the land of Canaan. As God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, God promised them the land of flowing with milk and honey. By the way, when they were at the threshold of land of Canaan, the reports of the spies who spied on the land for 40 days were divided into two completely different kinds. 10 of the 12 spies first reported that the city was well built and its inhabitants were of great size. With their eyes looking to the reality, they depicted themselves as grasshoppers. As written in Numbers chapter 13, verses 32 and 33, as they saw how strong the Canaanites looked, they repeatedly spoke of the difficult reality with negative confessions. Soon enough, their negative reports brought about a negative effect on most of the people. We have to be aware that when we speak negative words or make negative confessions, we cause people without faith to stumble or fall into temptations. We cause them to dwell on depressing or dismal thoughts, lament, and complain. Despite being in the same situation, there were people who made a positive confession of faith. Joshua and Caleb testified to how beautiful and fertile the God-promised land was. They said in Numbers chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, "If the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Joshua and Caleb could make this kind of confession because they didn't look at the reality as was. Instead, they looked to the Almighty God who had been with them since their exodus from Egypt. The reports made by the 10 spies must have sounded plausible and credible to people with fleshly eyes. If they would be defeated in the battle against the Canaanites, they couldn't even preserve their lives. For this reason, they could have thought heading back to Egypt was a wiser decision. But Joshua and Caleb made remarks urging people to believe in God's word of promise and boldly march on in faith rather than looking at the reality. What the Israelites chose to hear determined their destiny. There were two different kinds of report. There were reports from 10 spies, and there were reports made by Joshua and Caleb. And what they chose to hear determined their destiny. First, people who failed to believe in God's promise but looked at the reality faced God's wrath. As a result of ignoring the power and the word of God who is faithful, they couldn't see God's glory, but ended up being destroyed in the wilderness. On the contrary, Joshua and Caleb were blessed to enter the land of Canaan along with the second generation of the Exodus. Especially, Joshua rose to an honorable position of the leader, succeeding Moses. Also, do you remember how God blessed Caleb, who made a confession of faith along with Joshua? After the conquest of Canaan, he received Hebron as his inheritance. Subsequently, he conquered Debir, being blessed to become the father of the Calebites. Keeping well in mind these biblical examples, we should make confessions of faith like Joshua and Caleb, even when we find our situation difficult or challenging. We shouldn't be like those 10 spies who led their followers Instead, we have to make such positive confessions as, if only God is delighted with us, if only He is with us, we can do it. If any negative words is about to come out of your mouth, you have to force yourself to shut your mouth so that you don't ever say it. As you make even this kind of efforts to make confessions of faith, changes will occur in your heart and in your surroundings. Brothers and sisters, there's an adage that tells us, bad luck brings good luck. No matter how miserable and unlucky we find ourselves, with unceasing efforts and strong resolve, we can turn our miseries into blessings. Blessings don't come for nothing, but as a result of efforts. How we overcome our crisis determines the outcome. David, the man of God, committed sins by taking the wife of Uriah and having him killed in a battlefield. Afterwards, David received from God words of rebuke through prophet Nathan. That was a moment of crisis for him. Yet, David immediately admitted his wrongdoing. He repented right away, saying, "I have sinned against the Lord." In reply, the prophet said, "The Lord also has taken away your sin." As we are well aware, David was subject to trials unbearable for ordinary men to go through. But we know how God blessed him after he successfully endured his trials. We read in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, "After he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, 'I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my heart.'" He also received, David also received a tremendous blessing of having Jesus included in his genealogy. On the contrary, Saul didn't acknowledge his fault, but made excuse. He also requested Samuel to honor him in front of his people. This is a difference between people who repent and those who give excuses. There's a clear difference between them. While David became more perfect and became a great king of Israel, Saul was abandoned as the result of making excuses. In addition to adultery, which is a grave sin, David even incited murder. Yet, God forgave them all. Saul committed sins of disobedience, which may not seem serious, but it wasn't so with God, who looked at the depths of his heart. Later, Saul searched the entire Israel in pursuit of David for as long as 10 years. How evil of a man he was to try to kill a person whom God appointed. It was a direct challenge against God. As a result, he faced such a miserable death in the battle against the Philistines. Just like David, if we admit our transgressions right away and repent, as far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our transgressions from us. Father God is love. The God of love forgave. Even after David committed such a sin, Father God allowed him to become such a great one. Brothers and sisters, as we find in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 2, "From the fruit of a man's mouth he enjoys good, but the desire of the treacherous is violence." According to the words of our mouth, we can receive either blessings or curse, either lose or save our life. We can be either richer or poorer, either get diseases or receive healing, with the hope that all of us can abundantly enjoy good. Continuing from the last session, I'm sharing with you today the three ways to set a guard over our mouth. First, it is to speak beneficial words instead of worthless words. Second, it is not to speak words that are beyond our place. And third, is to make positive confessions of faith. In delivering this sermon, Senior Pastor remarked that all the three ways are easy to follow. If only we are mindful of these three, we can successfully set a guard over our mouth. All of us should set a guard over our mouth and keep watch over the door of our lips. In doing so, I pray that all of us enjoy God's answers and blessings, give glory to Father God, and enter New Jerusalem.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.